The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, thank you once again for tuning in here on AM 1260 The Rock. I am Paul Orlowski, and this is God Calling. Father Bob Franco is our guest today. Father, first of all, welcome to The Rock.
Great to be here.
You are at St. Peter's in North Ridgeville right now.
I am. Yes, I am.
A priest for 40 years in the Diocese of Cleveland.
Yes. Amazing.
Father, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Parma Heights and Parma, mostly Parma Heights. And St. John Bosco was our parish. Baptized and first communion at St. Francis de Sales. About 8, 9 years old, moved to Parma Heights. And until I was ordained, that was our parish.
And you went to school at St. John Bosco?
I did. I did up until the seventh grade, although I played football and basketball there in eighth grade. And then we moved out of state midway through eighth grade to New Jersey back by the summer of that year. We were only gone about 9 months, less than that, 9 months.
Yeah. Back to Parma Heights?
Yes, yep.
And then back to, I assume, the same parish, St. John Bosco.
St. John Bosco, attended Valley Forge High School, graduated 1974, and from there went to Ohio State.
Tell me about your family growing up. Was it daily prayer, Mass on Sundays, or rosaries?
I'd like to say our family is a normal Catholic family, but there aren't many of them left.
True.
Both my parents, I had a younger sister, 10 years younger, an older sister about 3 years older. And we went to Mass every week and said grace at meals. We weren't particularly religious. I mean, we did what I thought was normal Catholic things. You know, we would go to confession every once in a while and, participate in Christmas and Easter and, those sorts of things. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you ever wonder how your mother kept track of confession? My mother had an unbelievable ability. If you didn't go to communion the week before, she'd give you the look.
Oh.
And from the following Saturday, you, mister, get yourself over to confession. I don't, a house of 7 people, you wonder how she did it, but she did it.
Yes, she must have had a focus of getting you to heaven. So that was it. But no, that was my dad's role.
Okay.
Yeah, my dad more or less would pack us up and haul us to the church with some regularity on Saturday afternoons. So, yeah.
But everybody I talk to, priests and sisters and married people that come in, when you talk about those days, everybody gets a smile on their face. You have one on your face right now. It's hard not to think of those days with just the, and there were challenges, but you forget the challenges and you remember the beauty and all the fun stuff, I guess.
Exactly. It was somewhat wholesome and just normal. I mean, I was a kid. I played sports, did my studies, ran around with my friends, My bicycle was my liberty.
Yeah, that's right.
Biked all over the place and yeah.
Yeah, well, we're roughly the same age, so I can certainly relate to that. You say after Valley Forge, Ohio State.
Ohio State. My dad was a mechanical engineer, and I was basically inclined more with science and those sorts of things, math. So I didn't have strong vocational calling to the priesthood at that time in my life. And this just seems kind of a natural thing for me to do. So I went to Ohio State. I was in the engineering dorm. I was in the engineering program in school by the time I got to my second year. I have to admit, I did okay, but I I don't know if I would have been a great engineer. I might have been better at civil engineering. I'm more interested in roads, buildings, and bridges than machines. Mm-hmm. My dad was mechanical, so yeah.
My dad was a mechanical engineer as well.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Now, your degree was electrical?
My degree was in history.
Oh, okay.
I never finished Ohio State.
Okay. What happened next then?
Well, my latter time in high school, I started to get a greater spiritual hunger. That's all I can say. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be satisfied. And I needed to really get more right with God and with the faith. So I was just kind of stewing about that, really not doing much. Mm-hmm. And I got a call from my parochial vicar at the time, a parish associate pastor, as they call it, Father Dave Fallon. And he invited me to be part of a parish retreat program between St. John Bosco and St. Bartholomew. So I did that in my senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And was interestingly called Impact.
Okay.
It didn't last a long time. It was a little bit like a search or something like that, maybe for a little bit younger age. But I participated. I met some people who took their Catholic faith seriously. I was impacted, and I went to Ohio State with that kind of framework. I was going to Mass regularly, even sometimes dropping in at a daily Mass, and got involved in a Bible study, a non-denominational Bible study at that time. You know, it was sort of like college life, but with a little bit of a spiritual twist to it at that time. It mm-hmm. was good.
How important was Father planting that seed? It took a while. It kind of gestated, I suppose.
Well, I think, yeah, there were seeds planted earlier. You know, I was active in elementary school, and, you know, I would do different spiritual practices during May. You know, we had little things where we'd have a partner to pray for during the month of May or different things. So, but I think, you know, obviously the Impact retreat program, that little mm-hmm. 2 or 3 year program that went between these parishes, had a big impact in my life. I was introduced to a different circle of friends, some adults, Barb and Jerry Evans, who recently passed away, but they were an inspiration to me and someone I could bounce ideas off of. They had an open home for youth. I was connected with other people who were involved in the search program at that time. It was kind of a mingling of these groups of youth that gathered there at their home, and it was just a fresh beginning for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Ohio State, another new beginning, and being involved in the Bible study and other sorts of things, meeting some. Actually, the Bible study was led by a non-Catholic man who went to Grace Church or something down mm-hmm. in the Columbus area, but he was an aeronautical engineering student. But everybody else in the study was Catholic. Sort of funny.
Yeah.
It was a group called the Navigators, a non-denominational, kind of focused on discipleship, teaching people to pray, read Scripture, evangelize, have community, these sorts of things. It was good. So it planted some other seeds, too. I had to kind of work through. You know, I was found myself becoming a little bit more of a Bible-alone Christian at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And wondering about, I saw life in the midst of these people. And frankly, at the Newman Center, it was a little patchy. You know, there were people who took their faith seriously. But there are other people who are just there punching the card. And so it was, the music was good. Sometimes I questioned, you know, some of the things that happened there. But, you know, it was all right.
All right. Father, stay right there. We're going to take a break here on God Calling and be right back with Father Bob Franco after these messages. Thanks for staying tuned. Father Bob Franco is our guest on God Calling. And Father, we left you at the Newman Center at Ohio State. How important to have that available to you? Because a lot of times the kids are away from home and they kind of drift from the faith.
At that time, it was very crucial, really. I mean, I think it's crucial at any time. But for me, I happen to live North Campus. I was a half a block away from the Newman Center. So it was very convenient for me. And the fact that people in my Bible study went there, I stayed in touch with them. They had a charismatic prayer group there that I was invited to be part of. I was involved with a few other things there. Remember preparing a meal from scratch to serve just people who showed up on a Thursday night or something like mm-hmm. that, and you know, just different things connected with the Newman Center. So it was great.
Yeah, well, you're acting out what Jesus said to do, right?
Trying to, anyway.
Trying to, exactly. Yeah. You graduated. What happened next?
Well, I didn't graduate from Ohio State. Mm-hmm. It was during this time that I was invited to a charismatic prayer meeting back up in the Cleveland area. It was Christmas break. That time was kind of a sort of an amazing time in my life. I was part of this. I went to this prayer meeting, and I have to admit I was a little overwhelmed. They began to sing songs. I could sing songs. I enjoyed that. They began to lift their hands, and I thought, this is different. And then they all began to pray out loud together.
Okay.
Just praising God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah.
Sounds more Baptist than Catholic.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. And, you know, it was charismatic. Sometimes people would pray in tongues. The person who brought me to the prayer meeting was, I don't know if he did this on purpose, but I'll pick you up. I was stuck there. I couldn't leave. So, but it's okay. But during that time, what was happening in my heart was that I was at once being convicted that this is good, this is true. If God is real, He's worthy of our praise and of our love. You know, we get excited at football games and basketball games and track meets, but oftentimes show little enthusiasm for God. And sometimes we think of God as the enforcer, you know, just follow these rules, you know. So this was, I was being attracted. It was making sense to me, and yet I knew that if I got involved, I'd be different. And that was a little scary. I came back from that. I eventually made what's called a Life in the Spirit seminar at St. Joe's Christian Life Center back when it was operating. This was 1975.
Okay.
And I was 19 years old. And it was there that I really just said, Jesus, I'm yours. Do with me whatever you want. I want to be your disciple. I want to be your friend. And I really experienced the Holy Spirit in a new way, giving light to my mind, love to my heart, and really had an enthusiasm for my faith. And that was a great thing. I went back to Ohio State. That was my end of my freshman year, beginning my sophomore year, started to discern, what am I doing with my life? Am I going to be an engineer? I sensed God calling, you know, maybe to investigate the priesthood. I visited the seminary between quarters, and to be honest, I wasn't that enthused about it, but I kept feeling this call, feeling this draw. So that went on, actually, through the rest of that school year, all the way to the summer of between my sophomore and junior years. I told my dad at this time I was thinking about going to the priesthood, or at least maybe taking some time off and discerning that, maybe even joining this non-denominational. And he said, you're going to school next year. I don't care where.
There's a mechanical engineer speaking.
Ohio State, the seminary, another college. I thought about the College of Steubenville. That's what it was called at that time. And eventually, I was in my bedroom really praying about this, and I opened the Bible to Isaiah 61. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, therefore He's anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor, liberty to the captive, sight to the blind. And I'm thinking, Lord, this sounds like You're calling me to be a priest. I don't know. And I played Bible roulette one more time.
Bible roulette.
Yeah, and I don't recommend it necessarily. There are other ways to discern your vocation. This can be part of it.
Open the book and...
Yeah, right. So I opened the book, and it was to this Bible I have in front of me, a Protestant version called the New American Standard, very literal to the Greek, this time to the New Testament, open to Romans chapter 15, verse 16. I'm going to read it.
Okay.
To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, that my offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And so when I came across that line, ministering as a priest, the gospel of God, I said, Lord, this sounds like You're calling me to be a priest.
Yeah.
So I eventually, within days really, I called the seminary, made an appointment, and did the things that we do to matriculate into the seminary, and eventually was accepted for that next semester. And I began in August after my sophomore year. 2 years at Borromeo, had to cram things together. I had a lot that counted as credit hours, but not transferred into a priestly vocation path. So I had to take extra courses, but I graduated in 2 years and then went on to St. Mary's Seminary. At that time, a four-year program was ordained in 1982.
Were there challenges? You know, when the Lord calls, I hear it over and over again here on the program, he doesn't give up.
Well, he had to call and call and call. Yes, I mean, I answered. But yeah, even in the seminary, I wondered, is this the thing? I thought about maybe there's a, you know, there's a ministry out on the West Coast, a Catholic charismatic ministry. I wrote them a letter. I got the letter, no such address, returned to me. And I looked at what I looked up in the book and what I looked at the letter. And, you know, saying, so there was all sorts of things, struggling with some Catholic doctrine a little bit. But eventually, you know, it all made sense. And there's some stories of those things, too, I could maybe share. But I don't know how much time we got. But it was affirming in many different ways. I had good spiritual direction at that time, too, in the seminary. And, you know, classmates that were both supportive and challenging. And so it was a good time.
My sense of the seminary is they're there to help you, to make you grow, and but also if or to discern out.
Exactly.
It's not like they don't lock the door behind you.
No.
Exactly.
Yes.
Father, stay right there. We're going to come back with another segment after these messages on God Calling right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Back on God Calling, I'm Paul Orlowski. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you'll do it every week at the same time. And our guest today is Father Bob Franco, who was ordained in 1982.
That's right.
I believe. Long time.
Tempus fugit. Time flies.
Okay.
One of the few Latin phrases I have memorized.
Okay.
So true.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's go back to that day, laying on the altar before the bishop.
June 12th, 1982, Bishop Pilla was there. I had 11 other classmates with me. And we had our retreat in March. I took a couple of days of prayer beforehand. I was excited and open and just ready to surrender my life to the Lord. And I did, and it was beautiful. I don't remember being scared. Mm-hmm. I think all of that is already gone, especially if you're ordained a deacon. You're kind of committed. You've already made a promise of obedience to the bishop and celibacy at that time. So, but, you know, ready to really change the world.
Yeah.
And I learned, as one person said, change yourself first and you'll have a better chance. So, but that was a great day. I began my ministry at St. Ignatius of Antioch Parish on West Boulevard in Lorraine. Was there 5 years, had three other five-year assignments, Holy Family in Stowe, St. John Newman in Strongsville, St. William, now St. Robert and William in Euclid. Great times. I was with some very holy and good priests, I think, that influenced me. They were all different, but they all encouraged me, and I learned different things from them, and eventually became a pastor again at St. Teresa of Avila Parish in Sheffield Village for 7 years, and then now St. Peter's in North Ridgeville for 13. So
that's a pretty big parish, St. Peter's, isn't
it? St. Peter's, we're almost 2,000 families. We have a school of over 300. We have an active cemetery that I manage. I was recently made kind of a one-priest parish about a year ago, and was journeying along that way, just kind of getting things, a little sea legs there. And then I was given a second parish with a second priest. So it's kind of juggling. Things you don't think about 40 years ago when you were ordained. You know?
For sure.
And so there's lots of changes in those 40 years about how the church is, how ministry is, and how parish life is now. But yeah, so this is my new reality. Father Isidore came to our parish at the end of November of last year, and same time, actually a month and a half earlier, I was given St. Julie Parish
and Julie Billard,
St. Julie Billard in also in North Ridgeville, close by. So we adjusted some schedules and are going at it and looking to bring life to both places and see where the Lord takes us.
You've had a lot of experiences in 5-year terms at a number of places. How important is that informing you as a priest? Because people on Lorraine at West Boulevard are going to be way different probably than people in Euclid.
Yes and no. I mean, people are people. There are people that have a spiritual hunger, and there are people that are falling away. Sometimes they wear different clothes and use different language, but people are people. And so it's just interesting. My home parish pastor, Father Ed Tully, told me once, never be surprised where you'll find holiness among your people. Never be surprised where you'll find sinfulness among your people. I found that so true because sometimes, you know, people who dress really nice and maybe even are present in church have personal struggles they really need the Lord's mercy on. And sometimes you run into somebody who you go to visit their mother who's dying and you find that this person who you see in church regularly has been serving their mother and praying the rosary faithfully and just doing holy things in a hidden way their whole life and no one knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of amazing. But yes, people are people. Everybody has a story. Everybody has something that I can learn from. And so I'm grateful for all of those people that I've run into and the priests I've run into and the things I've learned. I think one of the major shifts I've experienced in those 40 years is starting out at some large parishes, you always had people coming to you with needs. As time went on, church attendances drop, but there's less of you. And now our focus is not just the people coming to us that we serve, but the people who aren't there that we're seeking to find and reach out to and to really have a shift. The bishop gave us a book last year called From Christendom to Missionary, Apostolic Mission. That's it, From Christendom to Apostolic Mission. That title just captures my journey of 40 years, really.
That leads nicely into what I wanted to ask you about, because I took some notes. You served as the bishop's delegate to the Charismatic Renewal. Tell me about that.
Well, I've been doing that for 30 years, too. Basically, it's a group called Catholic Renewal Ministries. We exist to serve people in the renewal prayer groups. We put on an annual conference. We put on many conferences. We do healing masses around the diocese. The Holy Spirit is a spirit who gives us graces such as wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, the fear of the Lord, piety. These are graces to help us to become holy. The Holy Spirit also gives us charisms, gifts by which we serve. Some can be as seemingly mundane as hospitality or administration, but other charisms are charisms that bring healing and maybe a word that is more direct from God, a prophecy, these sorts of things. And these charisms can build up the body of Christ and evangelize and reach the hearts and minds of people in ways that will break them open a little more so that they can respond to Jesus and his call and proclaim him as Lord more boldly and clearly. So that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Charismatic Renewal seeks to really expand that people's openness to these gifts and movements of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. I am very impressed. We've had several of them, newly minted priests on the show. I'm very impressed with the guys coming out of the seminary these days.
I agree 100%. I think the seminary is doing a marvelous job really forming people spiritually as well as emotionally and academically so that they're really ready to serve.
The call is probably the same, but I wonder with all of the distractions in today's world, if it's harder to come to that decision and to stay.
A little bit harder.
Through all that.
But I think oftentimes you're a little bit more clear because things are more black and white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't live a secular life. You need to be holy if you're going to survive in a world that is at times rebelling from God.
It's good that they're maybe better prepared or certainly prepared, but a lot of these guys are taking on pastorships very, you know, young ages compared to being 20 years in.
They have to learn quick, and I think they also seek, you know, assistance from the diocese and from others who have been along the path the way a little bit quicker than what I did.
Father, we're going to wrap it up here. Will you read that passage one more time?
Sure. To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, that my offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Bob Franco, thanks for joining us on God Calling. What a great way to end.
Thank you, Paul. God bless.
Enjoyed talking to you.
God bless you.
This is God Calling. Join us each and every week at this very same time, right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.